Dr. Gorgon?
The class of 17. See, I was there pre-war years.
Class of 1917.
Age requirement was 4 years at that time, and I had just turned four in August 23rd, 1916.
Well, as it happens, I got out the 1916 catalog, which is the first catalog in which I find reference to a kindergarten.
Yes, that was supposedly just starting that time.
So you would have been a member of the
charter?
Charter member.
Yeah.
Before we go much further, now that I have turned on the tape, could I be sure of the pronunciation of your name, Doctor?
Yes. Yeah.
I have it, G-O-E-R-G-E-N.
That is correct.
I did not drop it. Dr. William P. Gorgon.
Gorgon.
And this is a medical doctorate?
My specialty is orthopedics.
I see. Well, this, as I say, is the 1916 catalog in which I first found reference to a Grace Vail kindergarten. She was not your teacher then,
isn't that funny? Now, my teacher was Miss Marguerite Wheeler, present name is Patchen, George, Mrs. George M. Patchen.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Newtown. That was my teacher. Now,
oh, she does live in Newtown.
She's in the phone book in Newtown. Yeah.
I understand I missed her by one day. I went out to meet Mrs. Corinne O'Connell. Do you happen to know her?
No, I don't.
Who taught here during many of the same years as Mrs. Patchen.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that unfortunately Mrs. Patchen had left for Florida just the day that I was talking to her.
I believe she goes there. When I was in kindergarten, she was just about starting up. She was a young woman then.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose about, under 25, see. So that,
yes.
That'd make her 20 years older than, I'm 64, and that put her up around 84. So that's the age for Florida.
Now, this was 1917, you say?
I got through in 17.
Oh, so you started in 1916.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know why, perhaps...
I don't know
Miss Vail or
lady,
Mrs. Vail.
I don't know that name, Grace E. Vail. No.
Well, maybe she got
the Vails. I did know were at Dartmouth College. I have no knowledge of any Vails in Danbury. You know, doesn't ring a bell.
I see. Yeah, you are a Danbury boy, Danbury man. Do
correct.
I get it?
Yes, that is. I was born in Danbury. Yeah.
And where did you? Where were you born, for example?
Well, I was born out on 146 James Street. It was a two-family house, and we lived upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that area of town is called Morningside, and that connection I meant that the same night I talked to Trudy Braun, who was vice president of academic affairs, dean of academic affairs here. That same night I talked to Truman A. Warner at the conclusion of his program. He projected some slides, of old Danbury. And we got into talking, and I asked him, I wondered why there were no pictures of Roxy's Grove on the program, see, no projections. And that was my part of town. I practically lived in Roxy's Grove. Our house just overlooked the whole area.
This was a park, Roxy's
Grove? Roxy's Grove was a recreation center.
I see.
Yeah. And so he said, well, now, why don't you talk to Mrs. Schling about putting on tape your reminiscences?
Mm-hmm.
Regarding that subject. And so I, just as I've written up kindergarten here, last week I wrote up Roxy's Grove, and it's being typed now by our professional typist, Margaret Cleary, down 48 Main Street, and I expect to have that ready in a week. I'm seeing her next Thursday, and I'm going to put that on tape at Scott Fenton's. See.
Wonderful.
So that's another subject in which I feel oriented.
One question to which I haven't yet found the answer is the very name of the building in which you
that was
went to school.
Not called the Old Main then. It wasn't. They didn't begin to call it the Old Main, to the best of my knowledge, until this was well along on its way to becoming a university, which it is now. You know,
it has the sound of ivy. Old Main.
No, we just call it the State Normal School on 9th Avenue. It was then. Now I understand it's 6th or 7th. It was 9th Avenue then, but There was a little confusion in the street in the streets between what was 9th Avenue here, the street which passes the old main, and Locust Avenue. Mm-hmm. Since then, there are two and possibly three streets, which were undeveloped at that time, see. So now this is either 5th or 6th. Well, the ones, the street south of Whitehall, which was the old high school before it moved to Clavin Ridge, that street is now 5th Avenue, so this one would be 6th.
I would think you're
and
right.
And that would leave 7th and 8th between, intervening between the street passing Old Main and Locust Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
See? Proceeding that way, you see, if we continue with the numeral system, Locust Avenue would be 10th.
Talking some weeks ago to a Mrs. Llewellyn Warner, she married a cousin of Truman.
I see.
Lives
yeah.
in Reading.
Yeah.
She's in her 80s now. She recalled the site on which Old Main was built as the site in which, in earlier days, the circus set up its tent.
Yes.
And
yes.
she could recall watching the elephants parade down
yes.
the street.
Well, that goes a little beyond my time.
Oh, yes.
When I made the scene, this whole area, which is now filled in by Westcom, Whitehall, the high school appeared, and then the dormitory for the girls' dormitory for the old normal school, and that whole area was a playground and a recreational area. There were two baseball fields, and there was the school system had a gardening program for lads still in the elementary school, and that was there. That was on the east end here, and our carnivals and circuses were staged there.
Oh, in this, in the area,
in that area,
among
yeah.
other things, where we now sit, I presume.
Yes, yes. And they had a center for the children. They had swings and chutes and sand boxes, and there was the old trolley out there, and the cars. Head to the line ended out near Cross Street, out the end of Triangle Street on White, the other side of the bridge. And lest a car get isolated, there was a switch arrangement here so that cars could cross on White Street. Do you see what I mean? That is
Unless
there'd be a jam. Well, you see,
Could be switched around to
yes.
go backward or forward. Huh?
Well, the end of the line was out Triangle Street,
mm-hmm.
out near Cross Street there, the other side of the White Street Bridge, Railroad Bridge, and lest a car get isolated out there, they had when another car made the trip out. Say, mm-hmm. There was a two-track arrangement out here, such that one car could be isolated.
Oh yes.
And sighted, while the other made the excursion.
Got on through.
Yes,
yes. I remember those from my trolley car days. As a matter of fact, well now, you came to kindergarten in what is now Old Main. As a choice among kindergartens?
No, it was the only one.
This was the only one in the city?
Yeah, it was the only one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that until it was started, 1916, huh?
1916, yes.
There was no kindergarten opportunity for children in the city, is that correct? In its public schools?
No, there was none in the public schools. No, they began with the first grade.
Now, would you walk down with your mother?
I walked, yes. I walked. My sister used to come to me. Yeah.
Can you recall?
My mother stayed busy, was pretty busy, and she had four children. And I remember the first day she wasn't able to Bring Me Down, and she had a Civil War veteran by the name of Henry Robert Guise. He brought me down, and Miss Wheeler met him at the door, and he explained who I was and why he had brought me, explained that my mother was too busy, and had asked him to come down with me. So I got started. He was an old man.
Now, when Miss Wheeler met you at the door, this was the door to the building or the door to your kindergarten?
The door to the building, the main building, the front door.
This was a very fine welcome then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, I recall that very, very clearly,
Old
Main. I didn't mention that in my report. I'm glad it's come out.
Old Main is something that I have difficulty in visualizing in its old form, because as I talk to people, of course, I've gotten an idea of classrooms and of the gymnasium and the library, but then, of course, someone will say, well, we moved the library to the third floor. Or the other day, talking to Dr. Alice Donnelly, she spoke of showers that were just off the gym. I find myself wondering constantly, how do they fit all of these things into this one building? Because there were, after all, some 150, 160 students, I guess, even at about the time.
Well, I was never aware of that many. I remember there was a family, Banana Kane, lived across the street, Mrs. Kane, and some boarded there. But Mrs. Kane's house is a large house, as houses go. I mean, it's in the Victorian style, say, in three stories, and a big house. But even then, well, she was the only one I know of who was taking boarders. And certainly even a house that size couldn't accommodate too many.
No.
I mean, say at the most 15, 20.
But there was no dormitory.
They had to board besides have the rooms and be roomed. And your figure is surprising to me. I had no idea there were that many. Now, as far as training is concerned, we had the only schools available for them were the Bonforth Avenue and Locust Avenue schools. We had in each grade two backroom teachers. I don't recall any in my first grade, and nor in my second grade. But the more advanced grades had them. And when they did have them, they had two. So, say, of the eighth grade, say four had backroom teachers, that would put eight teachers, that would make available positions for eight backroom teachers, eight trainees in each school. Now, that isn't much, that's only 60. Now, 16, now maybe your figure is 16 rather than 60.
Well, that'd be...
Because I don't know how they would, I don't know how they would train them. And then, of course, they had that one room available for Austin Kindergarten. That's one less room for a teacher's training in the Old Main. I'm surprised at that figure. That's quite high.
And even it is lower than the figure I have here, which must be wrong. 1916, it shows 333 students, and I'm sure that the school never was that large.
I'm surprised at that. I'll tell you one other thing I remember about the normal school, and that is the two clay surface tennis courts they had down back behind, which have since disappeared.
In your
area
kindergarten
now,
days, or was this later?
Later on, they had them quite some time there, and your power plant is now in that area, they had a spacious lawn. They had a spacious lawn there, always kept up, looking very well. I remember the name John R. Perkins. I never met the gentleman.
Oh, you didn't meet Mr.
name.
Perkins?
No,
huh?
I never met him. No.
No, he was on this subject of students. Here is the summary: 109 seniors. This is the catalog for 1916-17. Denver.
Yes.
109 seniors, 104 juniors, and 120 non-resident students.
Yes.
921 children in training school. And you were one, apparently, of 34 in kindergarten.
Well, I list only 19 in my account here. But I'll say there's something that just occurred to me. You know, see, I say this name, Grace Dale, is unfamiliar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I have the feeling that was the first class. Now, another thing, I don't think our program was state, although it was in the state normal school. I think it was a local program. I say I never met John R. Perkins, and we might have come under the jurisdiction of superintendent schools then, F.K. Watson, whose son was in the class. I mentioned him in this story. Robert Watson, who was judge of probate and a prominent lawyer locally, he since passed on, but he was in the class. Now, another thing, this name Grace R. Vale, strange that vale in Latin, as you know, means farewell, you say.
Yes.
Ave, hail, aque, and farewell.
Yes.
Now, we have among us numerologists and astrologists and people who have certain faith in that
mm-hmm.
Account of things. Vale or veil means farewell in Latin.
Uh-huh. So perhaps Grace Vale said her farewell when she saw this youngster about to enter the school, huh? Does your paper describe what a day in kindergarten was like?
Well, I try to. I didn't pick out any one specific day. I concentrated on activities. An activity. For instance, I mentioned our Maypole dance. On May Day, we had a dance around the Maypole. I described that. I described our farewell party. As a matter of fact, I begin the thing with the farewell party up at Hatter's Spring, up here behind Katie's Peach Orchard, Katie Brothers Peach Orchard. I mentioned that. And I mentioned the sand table that we had. That's sort of an addendum I put up. I put a postscript there at the end, and I described this sand table there that we had, and that sort of thing. I described a running game in which one of our members was tripped by one of the bolder members of the class. I described that, and
that's going to be wonderful.
If you'd like, I can put my that name, that signature is typed there. I can put my I can write that
out. Fine.
Give you my holographic testimony here. Oh, and now she spelled my name on this. It's G-O-E instead of G-E-O. I corrected her on one other thing. There are two things in here that I should mention to you. I say Danbury State Teachers Training Program, and I put apostrophe after teachers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now she left out that apostrophe, the typist, this professional typist.
And I think she would find herself in a rather large, even if we didn't call it good company. I've been interested in this, and the apostrophe is very seldom used.
I didn't change it. See, I didn't correct it. Because St. James Church, whoever sees the apostrophe after the James.
Right.
James Street, whoever sees the apostrophe after that, see, it's common usage.
Right.
And but my name is spelled G-O-E instead of G-E-O, so I'll correct that.
All right.
And another thing, I mentioned.
You see,
oh yes, yeah. I
the apostrophe
yeah,
is not
yeah,
used on
official right,
publication.
Another thing, I mentioned Mary England in this account, and I spell it with an E in both cases. Mary, and I put an E at the end, see,
mm-hmm.
and she left out that E.
Uh-huh.
But I also refer to Old Danbury, spelled O-L-D-E, and another place I spelled town, T-O-W-N-E, like
oh,
yeah. the old English.
Uh-huh.
And she probably figured, well, if I keep eating, maybe he'll end up all easy, like in Chaucer. So I didn't correct that. But I did talk about messaging the nostalgia. I said something. I said
messaging.
The object, to message the nostalgia. She changed that. She said, you must mean massage, to stimulate memory, you know, stimulate the nostalgia. And I said, no, I would like to have you correct that. So she corrected that. It's message the nostalgia, but I mean to say, see.
This is not a form that I am familiar with. Message nostalgia.
Yeah.
Meaning to pass on one's nostalgia to.
To get the message, to convey the message.
I see.
I'm using message as a verb.
As
that's
a
what
verb,
I'm going
yes.
to see. To message, to get the message through, mm-hmm. the message of former times, of old Damery, of Damery crowns them all.
This Mr. Newman might quarrel with you about Edward Newman.
Yes, strictly speaking, yeah.
For purity of language.
Yeah, well, he's had a lot more experience than I have. That is in the public eye.
Well, then this does appear that you have answered the question very, very adequately, you little green chairs. Do you describe Miss Wheeler?
Well, to an extent.
Most of us, I suppose, have rather kindly memories of our kindergarten teachers, I think.
All mine are in that category, I would mm-hmm. say, yes.
After your year in the Old Main Kindergarten, which I guess was the only class for students of the town conducted in Old Main,
yes.
you then went on
yes,
to...
Yes, that's right, yes, yes.
Then you went on to one of the
Locust
schools,
Avenue, yes.
Locust Avenue.
Yes, I was there, and I have only favorable memories of Locust Avenue, too, and I spent a half year at Bonfort.
Huh?
Half year at Bonfort. There was a little crowding. We had to go some. We had to. They discontinued the second half, the eighth grade. They put those pupils in Bonfort.
Mm-hmm.
And F.K. Watson, Frank K. Watson, is still superintendent of schools.
I see.
I remember at the time one of the girls, the class got together. We decided we didn't like the new arrangement. And one of the girls in the class, Ruth Carroll, using pink stationery, which she brought down at 5 and 10, wrote them a letter on our behalf. We authorized it, of course. The class approved it, and we voted on it. And
this was the eighth grade class, you said?
The one that went to Bonfort Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent this letter along to Superintendent Watson, who visited us and explained that it was something to do. Well, in the letter, we made an appeal to him. We claimed a certain hardship, you see. And we represent us as a hardship case, and he came out to see us and explained that it couldn't be otherwise, and he was sorry, but it was the best he could do, explained that Grammy was growing, you know, and it was, and
yeah.
Now it's what it is today, and you have the same problem here.
Going
so we have your dual campus.
knowing almost nothing about the college when I began this assignment, find fascinating names, new places, recollections of events that once were traditions and no longer exist. In my very first interview, which happened to be with Dr. Haas to get general background, toward the close, she mentioned a man named Mr. Durge.
Yeah.
Was Mr. Durge a figure known to you as a kindergarten child?
No, but there was at the night I met Trudy Braun, there was someone by the name of Evelyn Durge, or Durge, I heard it pronounced both ways, I believe, someone connected with Scott Fenton, and she spoke from the floor at the conclusion of the dinner. We had speakers, and she was one of the speakers, Evelyn Durge.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
did she happen to bring up this Mr. Howard Durge?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
I see.
No.
I have noticed in the News Times several times the name Durge applied both to male and female.
Yeah.
But I have been told that Mr. Durge himself was unmarried, that he had a mother and a sister, I think, and they have apparently all passed away.
No, I'm
Well, he was the janitor, and apparently over the years became...
Was a janitor in the Old Main?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we might find him listed here.
I didn't know. But the place was always clean enough. There was never any question about that.
Apparently, Mr. Durge was the kind of boy... Yes, here we are. Howard C. Durge, janitor. Winfield Pease engineer. Now, the engineers have never been called to my attention.
Yeah.
But Mr. Durge...
Well, I'm sure Evelyn Durge would know something about that. I'm sure she would.
Is this...
I've heard the name Durge in town before, mm-hmm. but Evelyn Durge was the first one I...
Do you know if she is a Mrs. what, William Durdy or something?
No, I don't. No.
Okay,
well, I'm sure you can get that in Maine, John Scott Fenton. They know all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the name down there is Schling, Mrs. Schling down there.
Mrs. Schling?
She, yes.
Mm-hmm. One person that I had tried several times to reach for interview is Mrs. Overholt.
Faye Overholt, yeah.
Apparently keeps so busy at Scott Fenton that it's been impossible for me to get hold of her.
Yeah. she was one of the speakers. As a matter of fact, I think she followed Evelyn Durkee that night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the same level, I don't know.
You're speaking of the kindergarten as probably being associated with, supported by the city or town school system, not by the state. This would have been true, I believe, of any of the public schools in which, Locust Avenue, Bomforth.
They were state supervised. They were the ones that had the back to use the trainees from the normal school, which
is
state.
But these were still city public schools, it's my understanding. In other words, the city paid for the cost of their operation.
Well, I'll agree with you. I can't say the contrary. All I can say is that they were known. Bomforth and Locust were known as state schools.
I see.
And we had the one superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
They were here. See, they were in Danbury, but they were they. I think that the. As far as where the money came from, who was funding,
I think the state, in its wisdom, established it would take a responsibility for meeting the need for elementary school teachers through the normal school.
Yes.
But that it would be the responsibility of the municipalities, towns, and so forth, pay the cost of operation of the schools.
To the best of my knowledge, the trainees were just at those two schools in New Street, Morris Street, South Street. There was a little school out here on White Street, it had been the St. James Church Chapel.
Uh-huh.
That became a public school, too.
Well, and then there were the rural schools.
Then the rural schools.
Myrie Brook.
Let's see,
I think there was one other, although Myrie Brook seems to have been the one that stayed in operation the longest. Following this year, which you have described in your paper, you then went on to the Danbury Public Schools, and then what happened?
Well, after a half year of high school, which followed my half year at Bomforth Avenue, I went on to Worcester. I was there 4 years. I was a charter member. We started out in 1926, and I was there until 1930 when I was graduated. I was valedictorian of my class. And we started out there with 13 students, and they're about 40, 45 my senior year, since that's grown. It's now co-educational. Mr. Coburn was headmaster. He was on the school board, and Danbury Public Schools for some time, and that's where he got his experience in education. Enough to qualify him to go on to get a charter for his school from Hartford State, and found his school. And I enjoyed my experiences there too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then on to college and
then
to medical school.
Yes, I went to Dartmouth College, and my medical schooling was at Flower Hospital and New York Medical College.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then back to Danbury for
your
practice?
Not quite. No,
oh, no.
No.
Oh,
then I had 2 years of rotinianship, and then I had a year's residency in orthopedics, three different places. I was with Dr. Fred Albee at Miracle Arts Center Hospital in New York City. Then I was with 4 months. I was with him 4 months, and then I was 4 months out in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the State Hospital for Children out there with Dr. H. Winnett Orr. And then I was with Dr. Earl D. McBride in Oklahoma City for 4 months. And then the Army got me. Got in the Army Air Force. And I started out there in the Army as an orthopedist and got on into flight surgery. I was overseas in European theater for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had some interesting experience.
So the Danbury saw you only on a on a fleeting basis, if at all, during
I've spent more time in Peekskill, 21 years, than I've spent my own hometown here. But this is my hometown. Mm-hmm. I was born here. And entered college at the age of 18, and that was getting away from Namley after Worcester, see.
Mm-hmm.
And when I began to go to Worcester, I began to get away from home. I became a kind of other boy, so not only from the state, but from all over the world.
Yes.
And now they're well represented. The world is well represented at Worcester. They've got boys from all over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come from Finland.